Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. It is Monday. Monday. You know what that means. Here on the Cave Show with PLR. Monday, we're going to pick one thing, two things, three things, maybe five things. Maybe it's just one thing. We're going to get in somebody's ass today and get into your ass on Monday. I know that doesn't sound very polite, but there are some coaches and some players and some people that just do dumb things. And I will expose you today. A lot of injuries in the NFL. MASH unit. It is a MASH unit. We'll get into that as well. AD for three. Get into that and explain that. I have sounds from the Cardinals, sounds from the Bears, sounds from the Jets, sounds from the Lakers and the Nuggets. Can the C's even the series? We'll get into all that right here on the Cave Show with PLR today. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging out with me here on the Cave Show. We are brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobaccos, located at 4991 South Alma School, locally in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can become a club member. Get you access to the members' lounge. You get a locker. Put your sticks in there. Never worry about them going bad. You can do all that at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Now, if for any reason you can't make it down there, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-H-E-I-E, world.com. Order your sticks online. If you order them early enough in the day, they ship out the exact same day. So if you can't make it in, no worries. If you can't make it in, even better. Either way, all this happens at Maduro's. Fine Cigar and Tobacco, serving beer and wines. They have the MLB, NBA, and the NFL tickets so you can watch every game you want. All right, let's jump right into this bad boy. Today, I am going to open up the phone lines. That's the Kerry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. A lot of things to get into today. If you want to hop on, now is your time. Do have a call of holding. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you? And I'll tell you right now, you're right. Yesterday it was definitely a MASH unit in the NFL. My head is still spinning from it.
There are so many people that got hurt, Lou, and
yeah.
Big names that will be out for a while. Saquon Barkley, Nick Bosa. I'm going with just the seasons now, though. Cortland Sutton. Those are all the people that are officially out for the year with ACLs. Then we have the McCaffreys, the Drew Locks, the Garoppolos with a high ankle sprain, Davante Adams, hamstring, Mostert with the Niners. ACL sprain, so it's just, and there's more than that. That's just the top names. That's just the top names. So just one big MASH unit coming out of the NFL yesterday. That may turn a lot of fortunes of teams around this year.
It might. But then again, it may have something to do with the lag, training camp or preseason games. And, there's, of course, playing on turf. So it does factor into why these injuries are occurring, at least I think so.
Yeah, I heard so here's my question. I heard the Niners, and they lost a lot of people yesterday. I mean, Garoppolo, Bosa, Mostert, just to name a few. a lot of people were complaining about the cleats on the field turf in New York, and I know the Niners are staying in, and staying out on the East Coast because they have the Giants next week. Here's my question.
Makes sense.
Were the Jets having issues as well? Because if the Jets are not having issues and the Niners are, shouldn't the Niners switch to whatever shoes the Jets were wearing?
Well, I don't know about that because it didn't help yesterday with the Jets because they still lost. And they got injuries too.
I get that. But
so I don't
in
think
terms
it matter.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Though. If it's a field turf issue, why not switch to the shoes that the other team's wearing? Not that specific shoe, but the size of the cleats.
Yeah.
Just curious about that. But I wonder what's going to happen with San Francisco. If they're down their best defender, their best running back, and their quarterback, that's a long road to hoe.
Very long.
So, a lot of stuff going on. Saquon Barkley going down for the Giants. Lou, the Giants stink. That's going to hurt.
Say that again.
But the Giants.
The whole division's pretty
bad. You know what? You took the words right out of my mouth. Dallas, and I said this, I don't know if you were on the call, I said it that day. First team to 7 wins. First team to 7 wins that division. It is bad. The Washington football team is bad. Dallas, though, what a hell of a comeback. You got to give them credit for that. I mean, that's a hell of a comeback.
Recovering the onside kick, which is not easy to do.
Well, it helps when the other team doesn't even try to jump on the ball.
Yeah.
You know, it goes a long way when the other team runs away from the ball. I've never seen anything
like
that.
Why would you run away from the ball?
Ask the Atlanta Falcons. Ask the Atlanta Falcons.
They have been.
I've never seen that.
Super Bowl collapse.
They haven't, and they lose on all kinds of things.
Yeah.
Honestly, they lose just for the sake of losing, I think, sometimes. There's no way in the world you should have lost that game.
No.
No way. So,
well, okay, who is a bigger choke artist? Let's put it this way. Who is a bigger choke artist? The Atlanta Falcons or the LA Clippers? Oh, boy. I know it's two different sports, but it's kind of like the same general area.
I'll say it's the Falcons because the Clippers haven't even made it to a finals. The Falcons actually were in a Super Bowl, and they had the game, and they gave it away. So I'll say based on that, I'll give it to the Falcons. Based on consistency. See, here's the thing. I don't think the Clippers choke anymore. I just think that's who they are. That makes sense?
Yes, it does. But when you figure, you know, they had 3 double-digit leads, you know, in those 3 games, and they just couldn't hold it. They just lost their composure in game 7. So that's being a choke right there.
Yeah, I just mean in general, though. Like, they've never even made it to a Western Conference final. So to me, they're just being consistent. The Falcons actually tease people and make you think that they can do something. I mean, they've been to 2 Super Bowls. The first one, they were kind of sort of outmatched. But then think about what happened to them the night before the first Super Bowl they were in. Their NFL Man of the Year was arrested the night before for soliciting a prostitute.
Uh-huh. So Man of the Year.
So it's a whole different concept down in the ATL. So, like I said, the Clippers are the Clippers. That's who they are.
Yeah, but they were so assured of themselves, and we were all assured that we were going to face the Lakers in the conference finals, and they just blew it.
Anything happened on the way there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the Buzzer beater last night, by AD, that gave the Lakers more of an advantage. I think Denver, I don't know how they're going to recover from that. I mean, they had their chance.
I don't think they will. Even if Denver won last night, I had the Lakers winning this in five and possible at the most six. So I don't see where that changes anything, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, if Denver would have won, maybe give them a little bit of a glimmer of hope there. But now I think that's gone.
Yeah, that glimmer. I'll tell you when that glimmer went out. When they looked up, at, just on energy level. Let me just take it there before I have to jump to commercial. Just on energy level, Denver's behind the eight ball. They went to seven, and they went to seven. The Lakers were down in what? Five against Houston. Five in the first round against Portland. So think about that. Extra two games in each series. That's an extra four games. And then they're getting a day in between. The Lakers have almost a week and a half more rest than Denver. That's big when you have an older guy like LeBron. If LeBron had to play a seven-game series, he'd probably be more spent. But he's fresh.
Yeah.
Makes a difference. It makes a big difference. I think that has a lot to do with it. And I don't think anyone is really looking at that. And I think that's a big deal.
You might be right. Okay, you have a good break for commercial, so I'll leave it at that.
All right, buddy. I will talk to you. Thank you, Lou.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Always good to catch up with Lou. Step away. We'll be right back. Break down that Lakers series a little bit more a little bit later in the show. But we're going to jump into the football when we come back from this break. This is the K-Show with PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School and Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up, because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR.
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for joining us this Monday, here to get you caught up on everything that's going on in the world of sports. If you ever miss this show at all, make sure you catch our replay at 3 o'clock on Casual Sports Radio Network. Download the app from the Apple App Store, Google Play Store, anywhere you get your apps from. If you ever want to just get to the show, obviously it's on KSRN and BTR Live. You can also just go to the Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. Hit that Listen Live button. It'll direct you right to our show. Also, there's a plethora of shows there when you hit that Listen Live button, as well as on a website. You'll see a whole list of shows and top interviews. We would love to have you check out. And all that's done right at from the sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. So, need to break this down. Like I said, there was a MASH unit. The 49ers really hurt yesterday playing in New York, and they lost for sure Nick Bosa. Garoppolo is going to be out for a while. Not sure exactly how long he's going to be out, but he's going to be out with a high ankle sprain. And Mostert hurt his MCL, so it's brain. No timetable on him yet. So basically, the Niners were fielding B squad by the time it all was all said and done. And the Jets still couldn't do anything. Now, there's a lot of reason why the Jets can't do anything. The quarterback whisperer, Adam Gase, is a god awful coach. God awful. I don't know how this guy has a job. I don't know how he hasn't been fired. I don't know how he wasn't fired last year. I don't know how he wasn't fired this offseason. And I doggone sure don't know how he has a job this Monday. He has no grasp of what's going on with this team. None. We saw the San Francisco vaunted defense last week lose to a young Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. And this week, with studs on defense going out, they couldn't do anything. Anything. And that's just terrible. They managed to put up 13 points against a team. They gave up 31 points to a team playing with backups. And Adam Gase just sounds lost. When you ask him questions, he looks like he's stuttering on what to say.
I mean, at the time, I had...
I'm going to start that all over. Did he not sound like a man that told his wife he would be home at 10 and then walks his ass in the door at 3 in the morning, and she gives him that look and says, where were you? And you know why she's giving that look? Because she was so mad she didn't even call. Once it got to 12, she didn't even call to say, where are you? Because at that point, it doesn't matter. Because if you're still on this earth, you should have been at home. So it doesn't even matter. And this is the way Adam Gase started this sentence.
I mean, at the time, I...
Let me set it up for you even better. Why are you late walking in this
store?
Do you know how to put together a game plan? Okay. Can you explain why you're such a terrible coach?
No.
Because you're terrible. Because you're god awful. Can you tell me why people think you are the quarterback? Can you tell me why Sam Darnold is regressing with you as head coach? No. Same answer, huh? That's your head coach, New York. Adam Gase is your head coach. Adam Gase, why do you still have the job as a head coach of the New York Football Giants? You don't know either, huh? Do you know why you can't throw or why you don't call plays for more of your open tight ends or wide receivers?
I mean, at the time,
Well, I'm going to be nice to him. I'm going to let him stutter his way into this
answer. I thought I was going to go to a certain play, and then I changed my mind, and then Frank came out, so Josh had to go in. It was just not ideal situation for what we want. If we block the guy we're supposed to block, we get the first down, but we didn't block the Mike linebacker.
Adam Gase, did you just blame your team for a block when you didn't even have an idea that Frank Gore was coming out of the game? You did. You had the ball. You had a fourth down. It's fourth and seven. Mind you, he's an offensive genius. He's a quarterback whisperer. You're playing a team that's depleted. You need points. Three does nothing for you. Fourth and seven. Adam Gase, what'd you dial up?
A lot of great plays on 4th and 7 when you're playing that defense. I mean, we thought we had a good play to play before, you know, and that's a low percentage. And, you know, we had our opportunity to score there. Just trying to get points, just try to get something going, get some kind of, you know, just a little bit of positive juices flowing with our guys. You know, it just, you know, if we would have came away with there with no points, it's frustrating to get down there and not get any points. So just trying to get three, just get something going, get our guys rolling a little bit.
Does he sound like a confident guy to you?
We just trying to get some going. Let me
tell you what he said. We sucked this whole game. We sucked this whole season. I figured if our kicker could at least make a kick, we could hang our hat on the fact that we didn't get shut out. You get that translation? Because why? Because he's just trying to stay in the game. But here's the important part. Listen to the very last part of this clip.
Move the ball at the beginning of the game. Then we had some injury issues. We were down in 2 wide receivers. We didn't execute in the red zone. We got to put it in there to get 7. We have to stay with the other team. If our defense is struggling, we have to do better on offense. We have to find a way to get in the end zone. We can't. When we're kicking field goals, it's not going to help us if they're scoring touchdowns.
If we're kicking field goals, it's not going to help us if we're scoring touchdowns. Why didn't you go for it on 4th and 7?
On a great play on 4th and 7 when you're playing that defense. I mean, we thought we had a good play to play before, you know, and that's a low percentage. And, you know, we had our opportunity to score there. Just trying to get points, just try to get something going, get some kind of, you know, just a little bit of positive juices flowing with our guys. You know, it's just, you know, if we would have came away with there with no points, it's frustrating to get down there and not get any points. So just trying to get three, just get something going, get our guys rolling a little bit.
So you see why I played that again. One voice, it's we had to kick the field goal. I can't come out of there with zeros. We got to really get something going. The next voice is if they're scoring touchdowns, the field goals mean nothing. We're not matching them. Dude, it leads me back to saying this about Adam Gase.
I mean, at the time, I
he's confused. Those answers came in the exact same press conference. The exact same press conference. Adam Gase, why do you sound so confused?
I mean, at the time, I thought I...
Absolutely no sense. Maybe I'll give him another chance. Maybe I'll give him another chance. What do you have to do next, Adam Gase, to get these Jets right?
We got to find a way to improve really fast. And we have to go back to work. I mean, that's the number one thing. We have to go find a way to win one football game.
How do you find a way to win a football game when you ask your head coach a question and this is
I mean, at the time, I...
If he was a married man, and his wife asked him why he came out 6 minutes late, or excuse me, 6 hours late, and she heard this.
I mean, at the time,
the skillet would have hit him in the head before he finished. The skillet should hit him in the head with the Jets getting his walking papers. He should be fired. He's god-awful. He is terrible. I know that I've said some things about Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni can at least coach in the regular season. This dude, if I went to my kid's flag football introductory meeting and he was the head coach, I would take him out of that team. That's how confused this dude sounds. Because if I said to him, coach, COVID situation, are we doing snacks or is that still a thing?
I mean, at the time,
I can't deal with that. And if you think I'm not holding on to this sound forever, you're sorely mistaken. Sorely mistaken. The Jets are terrible. They are the worst 0-2 team in football. And before this show is over, if I get the chance, and if I don't, I'll save it till tomorrow. All you Carson Wentz fans, you know I'm going to go in on this like there's no tomorrow. Please let there be a little time left at the end of this show. This is the Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Hey, this is Kofi, and I don't go a day without listening to The Cave Show with PLR.
Bombs and birdies, baby. Bombs and birdies. That's all it's about.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR Monday. And there's so much to get into still in the final half hour of the show. Just spent the last part of this segment or the last part of last segment trying to figure out what's the deal with your boy Adam Gase. He's always sounding confused.
I mean, at the time, you know,
make sure you're checking us out on our social media at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, the Facebook, and the Instagram, of course. Cave is with a K. So I told everyone, told you, when this football season started, I told you, Kyler Murray was going to be a problem.
First down, and here is Murray. Murray went to his way. First down, touchdown, Cardinals.
Boy, she's special.
It's Murray taking off. Murray inside the 10. Look at that move, touchdown. Kyler Murray doing a dance and getting into the end zone for his second touchdown rushing of the season, 21 yards, and what a performer he's become.
Thank you to Fox Sports Network and the Cardinals Radio Network for that. I tell you what, man, and when I said a problem, I didn't mean it in a bad way. Not that he'd be a problem like that, but he's going to be a problem for defenses across this league. This dude is special. Josh Rosen, Hard Luck City. I honestly think that he fell to the wrong spot with the wrong coaches at the wrong time. But the Cardinals are showing you why they just simply couldn't pass on Kyler Murray. They're just simply showing it. And that dude is that good. He can do just about anything. I know he's little. Here's the thing, though. When you're little, the one thing you learn how to do is to operate with what you have, because the one thing you know you're not going to do is you already know that. So you have one other option. Get good at where you are. Muggsy Bogues found out real early in life he wasn't going to make 6 feet. Steph Curry found out real early in life he wasn't going to be 6'7". So you have to play the next card. You got to. That's life. You move on, you play the next card. Fast, he's agile, he's shifty, and most importantly, he's smart. He's a very intelligent quarterback. And adding DeAndre Hopkins was a brilliant move. And this is not a knock on Johnson on the tiptoe burglar. Before I start hearing all the nonsense, but they basically traded. Do you remember in school? And obviously this is pre-COVID, obviously. And this is a while ago, because I don't even know if kids do this now. But do you remember back in the day where everyone brought lunch to school and you could trade lunch with people? Do you remember that? Like, you get to school and you have, like, a liverwurst sandwich. And your mother knew before she slapped that liverwurst between that white Wonder Bread, you weren't eating that liverwurst. But there was a kid that wanted that liverwurst. And you would trade him, like, your liverwurst sandwich for some Jell-O or for a Jell-O pudding snack or for his sandwich, because he got the PB&J, but didn't like the PB&J. So you would make that trade. Well, the Cardinals made that trade. They traded a person who I call the tiptoe burglar, who to me hasn't ran hard in forever, for one of the top two wide receivers in football. And they convinced them to do it. When my brother was little, my brother's younger than me, he had a Scottie Pippen rookie card. I had a Harold Miner card. Doesn't matter if it was rookie, doesn't matter if it was second year, doesn't matter if it was third year. But I got him to trade me that Harold Miner card for the Scottie Pippen rookie card. And I put lipstick all over that pig. I told him how Harold Miner, that Harold Miner's a pig. You know what I mean. I said Harold Miner was a slam dunk champ. Harold Miner was known as Baby Jordan. Harold Miner once scored like 39 out of 55 points to beat ASU in a game when he was at SC. And I laid it on. Until finally, my little brother said, you know what? Let's make the deal. So before he could change his mind, I took that Scottie Pippen rookie card and handed him his very own Harold Miner card. And as Eddie Murphy said in Boomerang, yes, I took advantage of the afflicted. And that's what the cards did to the Texans. They know Bill O'Brien don't make a decision. They know that. Have you seen this man call plays? And they sent him David Johnson without even worrying about cap relief for sending him there. And they brought in DeAndre Hopkins to pair with Kyler Murray, to be the bridge, him and Christian Kirk, to be the bridge going forward for the great Larry Fitzgerald. And Kynes made that call. And Bill O'Brien, in his greatest Patrick voice, answered and said, oh, yo. Hey, do you want to make this trade, DeAndre Hopkins for David Johnson? SpongeBob, are you kidding me? I mean, Kynes, are you kidding me? And just like that, you now got one of the best wide receivers in the game matched up with a dude that's going to be a problem for a lot of teams. DeAndre, what do you think of Kyler Murray?
He has a different dynamic to this offense when he can go and score from 20, 30 yards out. It's something that is hard for defenders to be able to attack when you have a quarterback like that that's looking to score, not just get the first down. And also when he's running, he's looking to throw. As you've seen today, the touchdowns that he had, obviously it was defenders right there in front of him, and he made a move or two and went in for the touchdown. But Kyler's definitely a special guy with the ball in his hands.
And the Cardinals are 2-0.
You know, to be 2-0, it feels great. We put in the work and we get the results out. There was never a doubt in our mind that we would start like this. the team and the locker room that we have, a lot of veterans, a lot of good young guys. So to be 2-0, it's what we expected.
This team is different, man. This team just feels different. It doesn't feel like the Cardinals of old. You don't feel like you're getting the same old Cardinals, or as we used to say, the same old S.A. Cardinals. Seems different. You can feel it. You can feel the when you have a certain feeling about something, there's a certain swag that comes with it. And this team just feels like they have that sort of swag. And it's funny because when I gave playoff predictions, I forgot that there's an extra playoff team now. So I'm not getting ahead of myself, but when you look at the rest of the league, the rest of the NFC, why can't the Cardinals make the playoffs? We know we have our division winners, and they usually get the two wild cards, but it's going to be another wild card team. We know the NFC East sucks. The NFC North, look, I love the Bears. We're going to talk about them in a second. But I don't know if we're back to the proverbial lipstick on a pig. They're 2-0, but it's a shaky 2-0. We know what New Orleans is going to do. We saw Tom Brady play better against Carolina. I'm still not all excited. Can't three teams make it out of the NFC West? And why can't the Cardinals be one of those teams that makes it out of the NFC West? But they still got a lot of work to do. Can't get all excited. Can't start, you know, dancing in the streets. Don't start the party in Scottsdale yet, because this is still a team with work.
Work in progress. I think you can see we're not as sharp as we'd like to be, but he has so much talent that he can still make some incredible plays. And we're just going to keep working at it and hopefully take another step next week and go from there. So he's a spectacular talent. We all know that. When I think when we really get a click and get in a rhythm, that we can get rolling pretty good. So we'll hopefully take another step next week, and that'll continue.
And as Cliff Kingsbury talking about the offense revolving around the one Kyler Murray. So it'll be interesting. It'll be fun to see how this all turns out. But when they're clicking, Cliff says they're a really good team.
Yeah, it shows the weapons that we have if we're clicking. I really felt once again, offensively, we hurt ourselves with those penalties. It put us in the second and long and third and long situations against a very good defense and a good front. And we never got in a rhythm all day offensively. We had some big plays here and there. But I just feel like we have not hit our stride yet, and we got to keep working. We got to play cleaner and keep those drives going. But a lot of guys made big plays in crucial situations that allowed us to get that victory. But moving forward, we have to be better, and we have to clean up those penalties, and our guys know that.
And he's going to coach to that, and they're going to get better, and they're going to get better, and they're going to get better. And you know what's going to happen when they get better? Kyler Murray is still going to be a problem for people in this NFL. And we're getting close to the point where I'm going to have to put out my top 32 quarterbacks by team. I usually do it in the preseason, but with the pandemic, I left it out. And I wanted to see people get a couple games under their belt so we can really see how they are, how they're doing with their team, how they are in adverse situations. So I think it was fun to wait. I think it made sense to wait. In other football news, the Chicago Bears, my Chicago Bears, found a way to go 2-0 against the G-Men. Giants played very well in the second half. And I should say very, but they played a lot better. And the Bears, this is a team, and that's why I said, don't be fooled. Don't get the fool's gold. Not yet. Don't slap all your lipstick on this pig. Not yet. Because this is a team that still hasn't put together a total football game. Against the Lions, they put together a good 18 minutes. Against the Giants, they put together a first half and then held on. This is a team that is yet to put together an entire game. And when you're like that, then I get worried. Because if you're not putting together a whole game, you're going to run out of that magic at the end or that fast start and not be able to hold on. Hell, we saw Atlanta cough up a 20-0 lead. Hell, we saw Atlanta cough up almost a 10-point lead with like 3 minutes, 2 minutes to go. So they need to work on putting an entire game together, the Bears do. But there were some things that looked kind of confusing. I guess if I could say it like that, and you guys know what I'm talking about. Like, do the Bears know when they're in a zone or a man-to-man, and why are they taking their foot off the brakes?
You look at some of that, and for the majority of times, it probably depends schematically as to where you're at. But, yeah, you can see when you look back, you can see some things with the man zone stuff. And I just feel like yesterday that was something that they really did a lot more than they shown. And, again, they didn't have a whole lot of evidence other than what they did in Miami with Patrick Graham as to what they were going to do. So they'll have more as the season goes on. But that you deal with that every week. And some coordinators that rely heavily on man, that's what they do. That's their identity. They don't get off of that, you know. So it just kind of is week by week. I would say this, though. Especially with where we're at, we understand that we can certainly be better versus zone when teams do that. And I think that's – you start asking, okay, how do you do that and where do you do it? The film study. Film study is huge at being able to understand what types of zones they're playing. Is it one high? Is it two high? Do they drop eight? You know, you start seeing more of that. And if they're going to drop eight, then you got to run the ball. So we definitely can be better there versus zone.
Well, you also have to not take your foot off the gas, Coach.
Two really good questions, Brad. I think,
you know,
it's kind of when the game's over, you go back and you start looking at where you're at. Like for me as a play caller, you say, okay, we have this aggressing and attacking mentality that we're using this whole year. And so when you go into the second half, that doesn't mean that you have to be throwing it all the time to do that. Now, when you have that lead, you want to be able to still be balanced. You don't want to be one-dimensional via the pass, and you don't want to be one-dimensional via the run. What I would say is I was okay with how things went in the third initially. I do wish I had a couple play calls back. There was a couple times, even after I called it, I kind of, you know, you get that feeling you wish you would have had one or two of those back. But then I also say, okay, there's some plays where there's some execution to be made, right, where we can make some plays and keep that thing going. So we'll keep working through that. But the foot on the gas or foot off the gas, if it obviously looks like that now, and we want to make sure we as coaches, myself included, don't do that and that we give our guys the best opportunity. As far as the pressure, bringing four versus five, again, I thought yesterday we had a lot of times where we were in that jam front or where you have the three interior guys and the two bookends on the outside and you're getting a five-man rush. And it might not look like anyone's blitzing, but you're bringing five. Whether you're playing zone or man behind it, it depends on what Chuck calls. But yesterday, especially in third down situations, when Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack were there with Akeem and those other guys, I felt like we were doing a good job where we didn't have to bring that fifth or sixth element to get after the quarterback. I thought we were doing good with our lanes. A couple times maybe get our hands up to tip a ball, but for the most part, I was okay with it. I felt them yesterday after watching the tape.
So there you have it, Matt Nagy talking about a couple different things, the rushing, the taking a foot off the gas, the play calls. It's not all on Mitchell Trubisky. And I can't believe I'm saying this. And no, Paige DeMarcusson changed my mind. But I think Mitch didn't get the same game call the second half that he had the first half. And if you have a young quarterback, I think you have to have a level of consistency. And I don't think that level of consistency was there. And it's hard to stay in the rhythm when the play calling starts to change dramatically. And I think that has a lot to do with sometimes why Mitch struggles, because there's not consistency in the game calling. But we'll see. I know that they need to put together a full game. The hanging on at the end, and they're looking for Mitchell to bail you out. That's not the way to play. You got to come out ready. You got to come out early. You got to come out hungry. do what they did, punch him in the face, but don't let up. You cannot let up. I started out by saying this was just a total mash unit of a week for the NFL. And I just want to touch on a couple of the injuries that are prominent injuries, and then we'll, you know, obviously we're not going to go through everyone that got banged up, but there were some big names in that Bears game. Saquon Barkley tore his ACL. It's confirmed this morning he's going to be out the rest of the year, obviously. Nick Bosa, I'm waiting on the official word, but he's torn his ACL. He'll be out the rest of the year. Courtland Sutton tore his ACL, wide receiver for Denver. He's going to be out the rest of the year. And then you have guys like Christian McCaffrey. He is going to be out for weeks. Now, he's saying he should be back before the 4 to 6 week time period. This is one of those real sketchy things. If you can get him back early, that's great. If he's not who he says he is when he comes back, that's terrible. Did I say Denver Nuggets, too? I meant to say Denver Broncos if I did. I'm sorry. Drew Locke, Denver Broncos starting quarterback, he's out 3 to 5 weeks. Jimmy Garoppolo, starter, I touched on this earlier, he's out, or he should be out more than likely for a while with the high ankle sprain. Devontae Adams, one of the worst injuries you can get, a hamstring, wide receiver for Green Bay, because you never quite know when it's right. And then Mostert with this MCL sprain that I mentioned earlier in the show as well for San Francisco. So there's a lot of people out with a lot of teams. And even if they're not out for the year, if they're out long enough to change the trajectory of their team, that's going to be big. It's going to be real big. If you play for the San Francisco 49ers and you're down your starting quarterback and you're down your starting running back and you're down your best defensive player, it's going to be hard to win games. Unless you have the Jets on your schedule, it's going to be hard to win games. And I just want to give a quick flash through before we get to the NBA and talk AD hitting a last second shot. Just want to give a quick run through all the games that we saw yesterday. Like I said, the Bears hang on to beat the Giants. The Cardinals obviously beat the Washington football team. Dallas, Atlanta, you should be ashamed of yourself. If you're an Atlanta Falcon fan today, you should be one of the most upset people on this earth. Now, that game told me two things. One, it told me Dallas still has a long way to go in play calling. But it also told me that the Atlanta coaching staff sucks and the head coach in general. If you can't protect a lead like that to start the game, and then you're up 29-10 at halftime, and you proceed at 7 minutes and 57 seconds left, you're up 39-24. They need three scores, and two of them have to be touchdowns. They have to be touchdowns. And you proceed to give up a touchdown at the 4:57 mark. And then you proceed to give up a touchdown at the 1:49 mark. And then you proceed to pretend like you don't know how to get an onside kick, or rather, how to field an onside kick. You deserve to lose. And your coach deserves to be fired. Simple. Another coach that needs to be run quickly. He's terrible. The head coach of the Detroit Lions is god-awful. Matt Patricia is a coordinator. He is not a coach. Not a coach at all. His team was up 14-3 after one. They managed to give up, and he's a defensive coordinator. And they managed to give up 14 points, 17 points, 8 points, to get Green Bay to 42 points. Your head coach came from a defensive coordinator gig, and he can't stop water. He can't scheme up anything. How does this dude still have a job? In consecutive weeks, he found a way to lose to Chicago with a lead. He found a way to lose to Green Bay with a lead. Jacksonville ain't choking, y'all. Tennessee played well. Minnesota, I told y'all about Kirk Cousins. That's all I'm going to say. Lost to Indianapolis. Buffalo beat Miami. Got a little scared at the end, but it was never really close. Philadelphia, I don't want to hear nothing about Carson Wentz. Not another word. He's not the problem. He's in a problem. He's the problem. He's not better than Dak, and he's not better than a whole bunch of other quarterbacks. He is Matt Ryan, who has he had the talent to take you there, but you know in your heart, it'll never happen. Denver lost a lot of people. The game shouldn't have been that close. Tom Brady, I'm going to say it again. The only thing better at 43 to 42 is Scotch. They ran the ball with Ronald Jones. They ran the ball with Leonard Fournette. They asked Tom to make the throws that they knew he could make. That's how you win. He is not going to win if he has to chuck that ball around everywhere. Los Angeles Chargers, you found a way to lose to Patrick Mahomes. And I know there's discrepancy of there was a spot in the game where people didn't know if Anthony Lynch should have went for it or punted it. I'm in the air. I don't really blame him for that. Because you don't want to get the ball back to Mahomes, but your defense has been playing well. You don't want to go for it and then give them basically a walk-up field goal. I get it. But, man, that's a tough one to lose. As they land after that first year, though, they've gotten progressively worse. I don't know how much longer he's going to hang on. Houston got embarrassed at home by Baltimore. I'm not going to get into Houston. I'm going to save that for later this week. And then a thriller, Seattle hung on and beat New England in Seattle. Cam can do some things for Bill Belichick that he never had the opportunity to get done before, even though he had the greatest quarterback that ever played the game. 15 seconds, we're going to talk NBA, and we're going to wrap this up. This is The Cave Show with PLR.
The Law Office of Kerry Lackey should be your first and only call if you are in need of a criminal defense attorney. Also specializing in DUI and accident cases, contact the Law Office of Kerry Lackey online or call 602-288-2303. And remember, the best offense is a good defense.
Welcome back to the Cave Show on PLR. This is PLR. About to go in fast break mode. Did definitely want to touch on the Lakers last night. If we don't get to all the sounds today, no worries. It's something we can push on tomorrow as well. But AD hit a game-winning shot. 3 to put the Lakers up 2-0 against Denver. And one of the questions that he was asked last night after all this was, how did it feel hitting that game winner? Wearing the Kobe designed Mamba jerseys.
I did. Obviously wearing the jerseys. He's hit countless shots like that, you know, to win games, regular season playoffs, finals. It's a special moment for me, special moment for my teammates. I told Bron that in LA, you know, right before the hiatus, you know, against the Brooklyn Nets, and you know, same spot, slightly different play, and I missed a shot, and I was upset at myself. He said, "Man, we gonna live or die with you shooting that shot," and I got the same opportunity tonight, and we were able to make it. It's a special moment for me, special moment for the team, especially in a situation like this, you know, trying to go up 2-0 against a special team who's great competitors and. You know, going to fight for the entire 48 minutes. So to do something like that, you know, and in the jersey we wore tonight, it just makes it even more special.
Game. And he also talked about being a kid from Chicago. You ever dream of getting a shot like that?
To make it, you know, even better, you know, kind of wish he was at Staples tonight. With the fans, you know, that support us all year. But, you know, still to be in that moment and hit a shot like that is still a dream. I've never hit a game winner like that before. So to hit like that and, you know, to be a three, a special moment for me. Something I'll let soak in for next couple of hours, and then tomorrow I'll try to get, you know, get ready and prep for game three. But you know, being around, you know, Bron and you know, Duzz and all the other guys, they for sure gonna let me, you know, make sure I hear about it, you know, at least for the rest of the night. So when you got teammates like this and the coaching staff who support you and want you to be great and want the best for you, you know, moments like this are even better.
And LeBron had some real complimentary words on AD and him being brought to and wanting to come to L.A. and accept that pressure of being the man as well.
I think just staying even keel, that's what it's all about. The playoffs and the postseason, the more you advance into the postseason, the emotions and the adversity is going to be a roller coaster at times. If you can just, you know, no matter if you're up, no matter if you're down, being able to keep your composure and keep your mindset on the main thing is very important. This is the furthest he's gotten in his career up until this point, and I'm just happy to be here with him to, you know, give any advice, him to lean on me or, you know, I mean, to be completely honest, shit, in the second half, I leaned on him, you know, and he brought us home, you know, so I just tried to set the example early on and we leaned on him, especially in the fourth quarter when he brought us home.
He sure did. But there's always two sides, Denver. You got to find a way. Mike Malone, what's going on with your locker?
No silver linings. I mean, this is the Western Conference Finals. So no moral victories, no silver linings. Gave ourselves a chance to win tonight. Obviously, Anthony Davis hits a big three to win the game at the buzzer. So we'll watch the film, see what happened on that last play. And the message is, you know, we're down 2-0. Let's go out and win game three.
Plain and simple, that's all they can do, right? Because if they fall behind, you know what I'm about to say. If they go down 3-0, it's a wrap. No one in the NBA has ever come back and won four games in a row. So they got to find a way to win game three for sure. We'll get to the Seas and the Heat tomorrow. We have time for that. And Monday night game tonight, the Saints help open up that beautiful stadium in Las Vegas that I can't wait to check out soon one day when this devil known as COVID leaves us. I know this, when I go to Vegas, I'm going to check that game out. I'm going right back to the hotel. I'm going right back because my wife calls the room and I'm not there and she asks me where I'm at. I don't want to say
it. I mean, at the time, I
follow us on social media. The Twitter, Instagram, Facebook at Sports Cave. Cave is with the K. SportsCave.com. Cave is with the K. PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Check me out. Everyone, have a great rest of your Monday. We'll see you here tomorrow. It's the Cave Show with PLR. Temptations, take us home.